We are on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and we are almost halfway down the Amud, Tanurabanan. So we've been discussing in the Sigya of Machzelas Kanim, if you have different mats, and we saw in the Mishnah, if it is Gedola, if it's a big mat, and we said Asal L'Shechiva, Mekabelas Tuma, Ein Mesachechin Ba, L'Sikich Mesachechin Ba, Ein Mekabelas Tuma, Rav Lezer Ema Achas Ketana V'Achas Gedola, Asal L'Shechiva, Mekabelas Tuma, Ein Mesachechin Ba, L'Sikich Mesachechin Ba, Ein Mekabelas Tuma. And we had a difficulty, which the Gemara pointed out, that it seems to be a stira in the diuk between the Reish Sefer of the Tanakama and a stira in the diuk between the Reish Sefer of Rabbi Eliezer, as to whether or not, how do we view Stam Machzelas, the Stam Machzelas, which is Ketana, which is Gedola, and so on. And what we said is, bottom line, what comes out is if it's made for Shechiva, then it's a Keli and it's Mekabel Tuma. You cannot use it for Schach. Certainly if it's made for the Lashem Schach, then you would be able to use it. And the question is, how do we view it if it's Stam? And that we had a Diyun and a Machlekes between the Chacham and Rebbe Eliezer. So again, midway down the page, Tan Rabbanan, Machzelis, Shel Shifa, Vishal Gemi. So we have, I believe this is where we're up to. So Machzelis, Shel Shifa, Vishal Gemi. So if you have a mat which is made of different types of rush material, which comes from plants which grow by sources of water. So Machzelis Shel Shifa Vishal Gemi, Gedola Mesachin Ba, Ketana Ein Mesachin Ba. So large ones which are not made for Shechiva, one can be Mesachich with. They're not considered to be Kelim, and therefore you can use them for Schach. Whereas Ketana Ein Mesachin Ba. Small ones, the assumption is they were made for Shechiva, and therefore they're considered to be kelim, and therefore ein mesachin ba, shel kanim and shel chilas. And if they are made of kanim, so they're made of reeds, or they're made of chilas, something similar to that, so we say the following, gedula mesachin ba. So Rashi says gedula, if it's the second wide line in Rashi says gedula means maisa avis, meaning it is something which is, it's braided, so if it's braided, even if it's a small one, you can be mesachech with it, says Rashi, de'eino l'shchiva, because it was not made for shchiva, l'fi shehi aveh. De'eino chalaka, it's thick, it's not smooth, ve'eitz shlehen kasha, and therefore its wood is hard, and it's uncomfortable, it's unpleasant to lie on. So therefore we say, Gedula Mesachechin Ba, if it's braided, it's not considered to be a Keli, and therefore we assume it's Oymed L'Schach Mesachechin Ba. Whereas if it is Aruga, if it's woven, Ein Mesachechin Ba. So Rashi says, Aruga Ein Mesachechin Ba, the Stomel L'Shchiva, there we can assume that it was made to lie on, so it would be done, it would be woven in a way which was nice and pleasant to lie on, and therefore it's considered to be Oymed L'Shechiva, and therefore it's a Keli, it's Mekabel Tuma, you can't be Mesachech with it. So Aruge Ein Mesachin Ba. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yisi, Yimei Mishim Aviv, he said in the name of his father, Rabbi Yisi, Achazu V'Achazu, Mesachechin Ba. He says in both cases one is able to be mesachich with it. In both cases we assume it's not oimid l'shchiva. Achazu v'achazu. Meaning even in this latter case of aruga, we assume it wasn't done for shchiva, but therefore mesachich in ba. V'chein ha'yir abdeisa oimer kedvarav. Fine. Okay, so different types of mats, again, depending on the level of comfort and how pleasant or unpleasant it is to sleep on would depend on whether or not we assume it is made for shchiva, and therefore it's a kelim, therefore you cannot use it for schach, or whether we assume it was not made for shchiva, and therefore it's not a keli, it's not mekabel tuma, and you can use it for schach. Then also, we learned in the Mishnah in Maseches Hedyos. The Mishnah says, Kol hachitzlis mitamen tmeimeis tiver of dasin. And this word chitzlais is going to be a machlekes between Rav Avdimi bar Hamduri and Rish Lakish as to what it means. We'll see in a minute. But kala chitzlais mitamen tmeimeis divrei Rav dasin. So this is the type of thing, the type of item, which is subject to tumas meis, says Rav dasin. The chachamim aimrim medris. It is subject to Tumas Medris, so with, let's say, a Zav lies on it, sits on it, and so on, and then it is subject to Tumas Medris. The Gemara initially understands that the Chachamim mean to say it's only subject to Tumas Medris, and it's not subject to Tumas Meis. So, frag the Gemara, Medris in its May Meis Loi. Do you mean to say specifically Tumas Medris, but not Tumas Meis? But we learned in the Mishnah, kol amitami medris mitami tmei meis. Anything which is subject to tumas medris, by definition, is susceptible to tumas meis. So surely when the Chacham said it's tmei medris, they must have meant tumas meis. Says the Gemara, you're right, ema af medris. So if so, what do we have in this machlekes, in this Mishnah? The Tanakhama says, in reference to these chitzlais, which we have yet to explain exactly what they are, but the Tanakham Rav Deisa says it is subject only to Tumas Meis, it is not subject to Tumas Medris. The Chacham say not only Tumas Meis, but even Tumas Medris. And we find many, many times whenever we say that something is not subject to Tumas Medris, the Lashon of the Gemara and the Lashon of the Rishonim is Damrinen Amoid Venase Malachtenu. So to speak, we say to the object which is being misused, you know, if I take this box of tissues and I, you know, lie in it or sit on it, that is an improper use of this. It's not what it's used for. And therefore, the keli, so to speak, is saying, Amoid v'nasam lachteinu, allow it to be used in its proper normal use. So it's got to be the type of thing which is oimed l'shchiva, it's oimed l'yeshiva, and so on. So we have a machlekes between Rav Deis and the Chachamim about these chitzlis. We'll see what this is in a second. Rav Deis says, Tumas Meis, yes. Tumas Medris, no. And the Chachamim say, even Tumas Medris. So, good. So finally, the Gemara says, Maya chitzlis. What does chitzlis mean? And the reason why we are bringing this discussion in, as we will see, we've been discussing mats, and whether or not mats are considered to be kelim or the Eimed L'shchiva, so we're going to ultimately come back to this discussion. So my chitzlis, Amar Rav Avdimi Bar Hamaduri Marzuvli. They are Marzuvli, my Marzuvli. Amar Rav Abba Mizavli. They are Mizavli. So let's take a look at Rashi over here. Where are we in Rashi? Rashi. About three lines down, 3 lines before the end of the page. Bulus v'asu l'raya l'anichem tachas reishay v'lishkav. So it's some type of a purse, some type of a satchel, some type of a bag, which a shepherd uses. And at times, the shepherd uses it also to lie on. So again, let's just plug in the machlekes now. Let's plug in the shittas. So Rav Deisa says there's not going to be too much medrash. The Chacham say there will be Tumas Medris. Says the Och L'Ner, what's pshat in the Chacham? And being that the shepherd also uses this satchel doubles up as a pillow when he doesn't necessarily have a pillow, so then this is the type of thing which is subject for Tumas Medris. Whereas Rav Deisa says that being that this is not, it's not me, it is miyuchid to be used for other things. This is his bag, which he uses primarily for other things. Or the Chazanish says it's only used on occasion when he's stuck. And therefore, Rav Deisa says, we would still say, Amoid v'nasam lachteinu, and therefore it's not going to be subject to Tumas Medris. So it would be a machlikum teis machlikas tanayim between Rav Deisa and the Chachamim, how much, how often, how motzi does something need to be used in order to say, I mean, if there is a secondary usage, how much of that is at what stage will we say that's considered to be a normal usage to say that it's subject to Tumas Medris? That is pshat number one in Chitzlis. Whereas, Shemin Lakish Omer, Machzalis Mamish, it is mats, again, coming back to our Suga, that's where we're bringing it in. He says, it is regular mats. Says the Gemara, Va'azda Reish Lakish Letame. And Reish Lakish is going Letame. The Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, Hareini Kaparas Reb Chiya Ubanav. He said, I should be a kapara to Reb Chiya and his children. Rashi says, Hareini Kaparas, Yisurin Haboyin Alav Lekaparasish Reb Chiya Ubanav Yiyu. I mean, it should be upon me as opposed to Reb Chiya. I mean, I accept upon myself any Yisurin which should come to Reb Chiya and his children. It should be upon me. Says Rashi, V'loshin kovet hu zeh, k'shu mazkir oviv a rabbi la'acha misasei tzarech le'merkein. Now, this is something certainly, I mean, it's a Gemara in Kedushin, and it's something which is paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that a person is supposed to say, Hareini kaparas mishkavoi or mishkava, be it for one's father, one's mother. And there's a dion, also an interesting dion, as to whether or not one is supposed to write this in a letter. If you're writing, you're saying something over in the name of one's father, one's mother, and it's Teich Yud Beis Chodesh, Yesh Imrim, you have to do the same thing. And Yesh Imrim, that being that the Ksiva is a medes liyamim rabim, therefore it's unnecessary to do. It's interesting that, you know, I remember when I was, I think it was maybe one of my first year in yeshiva, and it's Israel, we were learning Maseches Kedushin, and the Gemara has a shayla about Kibud Aveim, Mishal Av or Mishal Ben, meaning who has to pay the money. If a father says, I'd like a steak, so does the child need to go ahead and take the meat from the father and just prepare it, or does the child actually need to put their hand in their pocket, buy it, and prepare it? And the Gemara is Masik Mishal Av. The child does not need to incur a financial loss. So I remember, as a young bachar, asking an older bachar, why does the Gemara say, "Less man the palig," that a person needs to say "Hareini kaparas mishkava," that a person needs to be makabel upon themselves, you know, all of the yisurin haboy and alav, you know, we paskin mishalav, a person doesn't need to lose anything, and there seems to be kal v'chemer. Al-Kabanim, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden says over here that even though this whole din is teich yud beis chaydesh, and Reish Lakish lived well after Reb Chiya Ubanav, he says, "Ulechiba yisera nidas Reb Chiya Ubanav Amar kein afshib vaday hayazman rav achrav deik v'tishkach." So Al Kabanim, that is what Reish Lakish used to say about Reb Chiya Ubanav. Reb Chiya lived in the generation of Rabbein Hakadosh. Al Kabanim, what did he say? I'm sorry. Well, if it's just a statement that doesn't mean anything, so then it it seems to be a bit of a worthless statement, just to say. Who knows how these things work? Yeah. I'll go upon him. Also, Rishlakish, tell me them Rishlakish. Hareini kaparas Reb Chiya Ubanav. Shebetchila kishnishtak terem Yisrael. Originally, when Torah was forgotten from Klal Yisrael. We'll come back to this. Ola Ezra mi Bavel. So Ezra came up from Bavel. V'yazda, and he reestablished Torah in some form, in some level. And the Gemara says elsewhere that Ru'uya ha'isa Torah linasanai ve'Ezra, had it not been that already Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah was given through Moshe, nevertheless the Ksav was Nishtana v'yamav. So Ola Ezra mi Bavel, he ascended from Bavel, and he was miyased. He was miyased Torah. Chazru v'nishtakcha, once again it was forgotten. Ola Hillel ha'Bavli, v'yazda, and he once again reestablished it. Chazru v'nishtakcha in the time of Reb Chiya Ubanav, v'yazdua, and he reestablished it. So just to mention a couple of things which the Rishonim say over here, the Rashba and the Ritva, they say a similar thing. There's a Tshuvas HaRashba, and it's in the Chadashis in Simen Shin Samach Zayin. He says the following. The Bazik says, Teres Hashem Tamima. It says in reference to Torah that it is Tamima. So he says, because Mipnei Shetir Sin HaKtesh Nikris Teres Hashem Tamima Im Kein Af Im Yishtakech Afilu Echad Miprati Dikduki HaMitzvus Harehi Ki Ilu Nishtakech Kula. Because it's one complete item, one complete unit, and so on. Now there is a din over here in the Rishonim. What does it mean that the Torah was Nishtakech? Torah was mamish nishtakchas. So the Ritva says a similar thing. Lamash, the Ritva says over here by in the times of Reb Chiya. So the Ritva says even though that we don't find that the Torah was nishtakcha b'derish of Reb Chiya, shari b'dera hayu Rebbeinu HaKadosh v'chaveirav. I mean, the Torah was not forgotten. I mean, maybe the reason why Rebbeinu HaKadosh allowed the Mishnayos to be gathered and assembled and written down was because of Eis Lasis, because he was concerned of Shikchas HaTorah, but we don't actually find that it was Nishtakcha Mamish. But again, says the Ritva, a similar thing. Mikol Makom Amar Kain Bishvil HaChidush Chidshu Ba'alach Hazu, because of Chidush which was said in this particular area, Shekol Mekayim Halacha Achas Shalei Tishtakcha Harei Ki'ilu Miyasid Kol HaTorah Kula. Again, similar to Al-Derech, this Rashba, because Torah is considered to be one unit. There's an interesting Rashi, the last Rashi on the page. Rashi says, Ola Hillel mi Bavel. So Hillel came up from Bavel. Shemiyim shegala yechanya acharish v'amazger imoy hois yeshiva metziyah b'Bavel. So Rashi seems to be saying already from the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, there already was a yeshiva metziyah in Bavel, and that's where Hillel was, and Hillel was in Bavel, and eventually he came up, but that's where Hillel was, and he took the Torah out of Bavel and brought it up to Eretz Yisrael. Tesis says, and the Achronim, some Achronim point out that Tesis is Chelik and Rashi, Tesis says, Allah Hillel mi Bavel v'yazda shalamad mishmaya v'avtalyim kedisa b'psachim b'perek elu devarim. Meaning, not like Rashi, who Rashi seems to say that Hillel was Makabal Terah in Bavel, and when Terah was forgotten, Hillel came up from Bavel with the Roiv Terah, which he was Makabal, and he was Miyasid it back in Eretz Yisrael. But Tezah says, no, Hillel was a Talmud of Shmaya and of Talion, and they were in Eretz Yisrael. So it must be that that's where Hillel was Makabal his Terah. One Ha'ara, which the Achronim ask, is, it says, Tezah says, Shalamad Mishmaiv Avtalion, Kadis B'Psachim Perk Eilu Dvarim. So that's the famous story where it says in the sixth Perk Psachim, where it speaks about that there was by the B'nai B'Seira, there was a halacha, Shenishtakcha, you know, they forgot to bring their knives to the Azara on Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos, and it mentions that Hillel learns from Shmaya and Avtalion. The Achronim asks Akasha, Achronim asks Akasha, why don't we bring a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos when it speaks about who is the Talmud of who, and it mentions that the Hillel and Shammai were Mekabel from Shmaya and Avtalion. Why do we have to say from the Gemara of the story in Eilu Dvarim al Kavanim? What does it say? So it says the following. So again, we're saying that Reish Lakish, who says that the Chitzlis are referring to Machtzlis Mamish, they're referring to Machtzlis Mamish. And we're saying this is Reish Lakish Lishitase. And finally we say, the Chenam Reb Chiyuban of Lenechliku Reb Deisiv Chachamim. The Machlek is about whether or not there is even two Mismedris according to the Chachamim, or only two Mismedris according to Reb Deisiv, Lenechliku Reb Deisiv Chachamim, Al Machzalais Shal Usha. If it's machzalis which are found in Usha, as in the place, like we see, but Usha skinu al mevazvez al yevazvez yez mechemesh, so the machzalis of Usha, everyone agrees in tameyos. Rashi says af medris, even Reb Deisa would agree that there's tumas medris. Medris says Rashi af medris demiyuchades l'shchivein v'leil tashmish acher. So those clearly are very comfortable mattresses, machzalis, and therefore even Reb Deis would agree it is tumas medris. The shel tiveria, and if it's the one of tiveria which are hard, and no one really sleeps on them, shehein tahayrais, they will not have tumas medris, even according to the chachamim. Al menechliku al shar megaymois, machlekes is other places. Mar saver kaven the lack of the yos of alayu kid the tiveria damien. So the bin of Reb Deisa is that being that people don't usually sit on them, Rashi's Lashon is in Ruyvani Adam Regilim Liyacht and Lekach. So the majority of people do not lie on them. Therefore, they have the same halachic status as the ones of Tiveria. And therefore, they will not be subject to Tumas Medris. So my Sabra, the Chacham say, given the Mikri V'yasvi Alayu, people sometimes do use these as mattresses. And therefore, Kide Usha, Damian, and therefore they're considered to be like Usha. So again, like we've said, come to Israel Machlokes Tanoim, how much, how often, what type of percentage is necessary to lie on something, to sit on something, and to recline on something, to say this is considered to be enough, that this is Omed also Yeshiva, L'Rechiva, L'Smicha, and therefore it's subject to Tumas Medris. Fine, so. In Jewish, you're saying if one person, no, yeah.
Saying,
I mean, if a person made it l'shem and l'shem shchiva, yeah, it needs to be that Reuven bnei Adam or Regilim in order for us to say that this would be subject to Tumas Medras. So, Abimah, we said Kolachitz Leis Metamin Tmei Meis Div Rav Deisa. Rav Deisa says that there is Tumas Meis. And it's Tumas Meis, and like we said, there's no Tumas Medras. So, Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa, V'chein Hayir Rav Deisa Eime Kedvarov. Rav Deisa said, like the words of Rav Deisa, Rashi, like Rav Yasi. Rashi says four lines down. Tanya Lael, V'chein Hayir Rav Deisa Eime Kedvarov, Shel Rav Yasi, Dizu Vizu Mesachachin Ba. That both of these you're allowed to use for Schach. Al Malav Klihu Lekabal Tuma. I mean, it's not considered to be a keli. It's not mekabel tuma. In which case, you're allowed to be mesachich with it. Vice versa, it's not mekabel any type of tuma. To say that kol achitzlis are metam and tamei meis, so it must be it's a keli. If it's a keli, you can't be mesachich with it. But Rabbi Yosi said, like Rabbi Yosi, that both of them you can use for schach. V'tayne v'chein Rabbi Yosi emeket varov leika shahadi is leigadanfa. Or the lastly, gadanfa. Depends whether it's got some type of a rim. Whether it's got a rim and it's got some type of a base kibbol. So Rashi says, gadanfa is ke'im safasaviv gavoyimat. So it's got some type of a rim which protrudes a little bit. Lakabo mashanes and va, that you can place something inside it. Vasuya, latashmish, lasis peris algavo. So therefore, this already is considered to be a keli. It's got a rim. You can place fruit in it, it's not going to fall off the edge, and therefore that's a keli. If it's a keli, it's subject to Kabbalah's Tumah, subject to Kabbalah's Tumah, whereas the Lesliga Danfo, Afilu Kulila Havya, the Lesakich Al Gabi, oh, Lemasli, it's simply made for Schach, and that will be the difference in Rav Deisa. So, Hadis Liga Danfo, or the Lesliga Danfo. Fine. So now we're going to go back to the actual Shita. So remember, we had a Machlekes between Rav Avdimi Bar Hamduri, who said that what are these chitzlis? They are marzuvli, which we said are these pouches, which we said sometimes double up as a pillow. And Rish Lakish said, no, it's mats. So, Fragdik Makash, we're going to ask Akasha on Rish Lakish, who said it is a mat. Mezvei chitzlis shel shamishal gemi. So if it's made of some plant-like material, the shel sak, the shel sapira, or it's made of neitzis shel izim, it's made of the hair of goats, or Rashi says sapira is mimash misaper mitzaver hasus umiznavei. So the hair of a horse, or from its tail. So again, if you have these chitzlis, the shel sham shel gemi, shel sak v'shel sapira, metame tmei meis div Rav Deisa, v'chachamim emrim af medris. So once again, we have the same machlekes between Rav Deisa and the chachamim. The Rav Deisa says it's only these four materials are only going to be subject to tumas meis, not tumas medris. And the chachamim say even tumas medris. So bishlam lemanda amar marizuvli, according to Rav Avdimi. According to Rav Gimi Bar Hamduri, said it's some type of a bag. So Bishlam Lamanda Amar Marzuvli. I can understand why all these things. I mean, remember, we're trying to understand what the taich of chitzlis means. So I can understand, according to Rav Avdimi, Shel Sham Shel Gemi Chazul Lekinta. These are also used Lekinta the Peiri. We'll see Rashi in a second. Shal sak, shal savira, shal safira, chazi legulki v'tzeni. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Bishlam Laman the Arma Chitzleis Hainu Mizavle Ikel Neimer Bechol Hani. We can say about all of these four materials, the Chi Loy Avidon Leshchiva Kliheim Latash V'Shachar. Meaning these are materials which are used for some other type of tashmish. Or they used for, says Rashi, Shalsham Shalgemi, the plant materials, Avabish Ein Rogin Hatev. So they're not woven properly. The ish hefrish bein base near le base near, and therefore the holes, the way they're woven, they're not in very close proximity, but still, and therefore the holes are fairly large, still ruin ain lakanta the peri, peri's gas, and you can use them to store large fruit, shein yates and dechneket cotton, because they're not going to go out through the holes. And shall sack the shall safir if it's made of the goat or the horse fiber hair material, shinerag in yafa, it's much finer, in which case you're able to weave it properly and the holes are going to be very small. Still, hazel agul kivitzeni, meaning kalim ke'ein sakim, you can use them like regular bags. Shemais min behen kitnias u peristak, and you could put in legumes or very small fruits and so on. So I can understand, according to Rav Avdimi, that these are the types of things which you can make into proper material, into a proper keli. But according to Rish Lakish, who said that what does chitzleis mean? It means that they are mats. They're just flat mats. And they don't actually have a base kibble. So it's a flat mat without a base kibble. And we're saying that it's metame tumas mace, so it must be that it's some type of a keli of sorts. But it's a flat mat. Lamanda Omar, machtleis mamish, the bishlam mishal sak, mishal safira. If it's made out of goat and horse hair, chazu leparise venafavasa. So those two materials, I can find some type of a usage for them even when they're flat. What type of usage is that? Rashi says, chazu leparise. And enough of us, so I can understand according to Rav Deisa. Again, Rav Deisa is the one who says that not aymed for shchiva, but it's still tummy tumas meis. So you have to find some type of a usage for them. So hazul aparis enough of us. Levilain keneged haPesach. It's some type of a material, a curtain, which is used by the opening of a doorway, or nafavasa, linfis ben akemach, to sift flour, and so on. So maybe you could use it for that. And that's the reason why Rav Deis would say, like, it's certainly not going to be aimed for tumas medris, and it's not aimed l'shchiva, but a keli it is, it's mekabel tumas mace. Why is it a keli? Because you could use it as a curtain, or you could use it to sift. El shel sham shel gemi, but if it's made of this plant-like material, Shosham Shogemi Lamai Chazu. Rashi says again, Lamai Chazian, we're going at Liba Dirteso. Normalav Lashiva Vidun, because we cannot say you're reclining on them, because according to Dirteso, being that only a small minority of people recline on them, that is not considered to be that it's subject to Tumas Medris. And that if I need to find some other practical, viable usage, so what type of usage can you find for these particular types of things? Lamai Chazu, says the Gemara, Liniziyasa. It's used, Liniziyasa. Rashi says, Lechaseis behen gigis she'isin behen shechar. So it's used to cover over a barrel with which beer is produced. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi's pshat. I mean, you know, one would have thought that most anything could be used to cover up a barrel. Al Kabbalah, the Gemara is saying that even according, so we thought we had a kash on Reish Lakish. Again, we had a shaila, what do these chitzleis mean? Rav Avdimi Bar Hamduri said it's some type of a satchel, some type of a bag, which the shepherds use. Reish Lakish says it is mats mamish. So now we're asking a kash from a different brisa. When the Brisa says, if it's made of plant-like material, or sack and safira, according to Rav Deisa, it is metami tumas meis. So, only kalim are metami tumas meis. Things which are not kalim are not metami tumas meis. So, what type of usage is there? So on that way, even Rish Lakish was Miyashiv, and he's found a usage for all of these various things. yeah, says the Gemara, Igadamri, some say the other way around. Vishlunamandam, Machtalis Mamish, I understand according to Rish Lakish, I can find a use for all of these four materials. Vishlunamandam, Machtalis Mamish. Shol Sham, Shol Gemi, Chazul, and Nizias, like we said, to cover over a barrel. Shol Sag, Shol Safira, Chazul, a Parsi. We said you could use it for Parsi, for a curtain, Vinafavasa, and a sieve. A Lamanda Amar, but according to Rav Avdimi, Lamanda Amar Zuvle, Sabishlam, Shol Sag, Shol Safira, Chazul, Lagulki. But if you say it's a bag, which the shepherds use, so I understand the goat and the horse material. So I understand it could be used legulki vitzeni for very other types of bags. Elishal sham and vishal gemi. What can that be used for? Which type of keli can that be used for? The maychazu chazu akin to the peiris. It could be used for peiris. We said even though you're not able to weave it to prevent holes, there will be some holes, but you can use it for to carry fruit, which are slightly larger, and they won't fall between the holes. Tanya Amr Chananya Kisharadati Lagola. When I descended into Babel, and Kisharadati Lagola, Rashi says that this Rav Chananya was the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, and he says Kisharadati Lagola, Kishayar Lagola La Abishana. So when I descended into Lagola to be my Abba Shonim, the Edekar and Brachas, the Chachamim were very upset with Reb Chananya that he went to be my Abba Shonim. You're not allowed to be my Abba Shonim in Chutz La'aretz. Only someone like Rabbi Akiva, who the Gemara says that being that Rabbi Akiva did not leave anyone on par with him, with of his caliber, of his level, of Yediyah, and knowledge and so on. So Rabbi Akiva was allowed to be Ma'ar B'Shonim, but no one else. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua went to the Bavel, and he was Ma'ar B'Shonim, and the Chachamim had a taina against him. Okay, what did he say? Amram Chanina Kishiradati Legela Matzas Yizakin Echot. I found a Zakin. The Amalini said, Mesachachin B'Budya. He says, you're allowed to be Mesachach with mats. Ukishabas Yid to Rabbi Yeshua Achi Abba. When I went to my uncle Yeshua, Haydila Devarev, he also agreed. And again, what does it mean you can be misachach with these mats? Says the second to last rash in the perek, the stamal asikoch ve'ena kli latashmish. And again, that's really pretty much the say to this last daf, that it's got to be something which is either done lasikoch or mistamet lasikoch, as opposed to something which is done v'shchiva, which is a keli. So he said, you can be mesachach with it. And my uncle, Rabbi Yeshua, he agreed. Amram chizda v'hu delas legadanfa. Again, it's got to be that there's no rim, because once it's got a rim, and then you have to suspect that it's used as a keli to store things. If it's a keli, it's mekabel tuma, you can't use it for schach. Amra ula hani budis said the b'nei mechayza, these mats which the b'nei mechayza have, il mole kirsh lehen, had it not been for the fact that they have a rim, Rashi says, "Kir is the same as Gadanfa, Masachach and Behu. You would have been able to use it, but they have a rim, so therefore clearly it's used to store things, to carry things, and therefore it's a keli. You may not use it. Tanin Amiachim Masachin Bebudya, Vim Yeshlahin Kir Ein Masachin Ben. So you can use a budya, you can use a mat, but if there is some type of a rim, then Ein Masachin Ben, because we have to assume it's used to carry, and therefore it's a keli and it's Mekabel Tuma." Okay.
I just ask, all these examples with the horse's hair and the goat's hair and all that, in which respect would one be able to use that for schach? If
we're not using the horse hair for schach. That we're not using. The discussion was not for schach. There it was machlegis.
Tuma and tuma.
Machlegis was legabe tuma, right? Yeah. For, you know, for schach, we have our own criteria. Pselas gur and v'yakev, and so on. The discussion was not like Abishach.
Yeah, I was just thinking in relation to that and Shpudim, Shpurim also not Sfach, that we can use them.
Well, they would have the same, you're right, they would have the same status as Shpurim, as Sfach Postel, and less than Gimel, and yeah.
This could also therefore be considered.
Well, anything could, in theory, anything could be, anything which is not Koshali is Sfach Koshik, would be Sfach Postel, which would have the same dinim.
So, in that respect, that is relevant. This is relevant to this question of Sfach as well.
Well, I mean, I guess it's no different than any schach posel, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Hajmalach Sukkah. And we move on to the next parak. I just mentioned the Eri over here, the beginning of the parak. You know, as we mentioned, I think, before, that the structure of the Masecht is that the first parak speaks about Sukkah. And like we mentioned, the reason why we prefaced the halachas of Sukkah before our Baminim, well, like we explained, the next parak is also going to be speaking about sukkah. We're going to speak a little bit more about the actual structure of the sukkah and the tefanis, and also the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. What exactly is the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah, and which individuals are exempt from the sukkah, be it an exemption be'etzim or because of some circumstantial reason why they're exempt. And finally, the zman chiyuv achilasi l'sukkah. What is one allowed to do outside the sukkah? What must one do inside the sukkah? So, and this parak is very much a continuation of the mitzvah of sukkah, the structure, and the yeshiva. And then, third parak, we're going to move on to arba minim. Tzag the Mishnah, yoshen tachas amita b'sukkah lo yotze yidei chivase. So, if one sleeps underneath the bed in the sukkah, lo yotze yidei chivase, then he has not fulfilled his obligation. Rashi says, Layatza, the oyel mafsik beinei l'sukkah, the ikr yeshiva sukkah, achila shtiyah v'sheina. Meaning the ikr of the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah is eating and drinking and sleeping. To a certain extent, sleeping is really possibly more ikr than anything else. I mean, one of the reasons that the Baal Amar, I mentioned this before, as to why is it that one says a bracha, leishiv sukkah, every time you go in the sukkah, even if it's not the first night, why do you make a bracha al achilas matzah? And the Baal Amar says, based on the Gemara, that we know it's impossible for a person not to sleep for 3 days. And shenas arai is also chutz l'sukkah. A person not allowed to sleep outside the sukkah. But achila, a person is allowed to eat, number one, even pas. And chamisha mini dogon, if it's a sudas arai, you can have it outside the sukkah. And a person can sustain themselves on rice and fruit, vegetables and meat. But the shena is something which really obligates and compels. And the mafarshim are medayik b'lashon. Lo yotze yidei chivasi, the chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah. So if a person sleeps in a bed under the sukkah, well, as you said, the oil is mafsik, that the bed serves as an oil, and therefore it is mafsik. It's considered to be like you are not inside the sukkah, you've not been yotze your chiyuv, now it's like you're sleeping outside the sukkah. Amr b'yuda, neigim, ayinu, shenu, yishem, tachas, amita, b'vnei, azkenim, v'lei, amr, lan, adover. He says, 1 second, but we used to sleep in the sukkah, under the bed, in front of zkenim, and they did not say anything to us. Amr of Shimon, my Yisibitavi Yandishal Reming Amliel. We're going to get to the Gemara. It's going to really ask about the dimensions and the height of the bed. We'll see. Amr of Shimon, my Yisibitavi Yandishal Reming Amliel. There was a story with Reming Amliel's famous Evid. Tavi Yandishal Reming Amliel, Shahaya Yashin Tachas Amita. He slept under the Mita. The Amr Lahan Reming Amliel is Kanim. Reming Amliel turned to the Kanim and said, Reisim Tavi Yavdi. Shutamat Chacham, have you seen my Eved? You see, is the Tamat Chacham, but Yudea Shavadim Paturim in a Sukkah. And he knows that Avadim are Paturim, Lefikach Yashin Hu Tachas Amita. And that's why he is sleeping under the bed, meaning he's trying to, either the Pshat is he's specifically trying to show a halacha, and the Rishonim say that halachas which are not so well known, there is an inyan for a Tamat Chacham to specifically show by their hanhaga, by their actions, that this is the din. So either that's what he was doing, or there wasn't sufficient space in the sukkah, and therefore he specifically wanted to show, I am exempt. Otherwise, even if he's exempt, to to the extent that he's a Talmud Chacham, he would still get schar. So why wouldn't he do it? Alamai, there was a reason why he specifically slept under to make room or to show and so on. Al Kaponim says of Gamliel, you see, he knows that he's potter. That's why he's sleeping under the bed. So clearly you see from here that from the Hanhaga and from the Maisi with the Gamliel to the Zekanim, we see that if someone sleeps under a bed, as we mentioned, we'll see about the dimensions of the bed, then one is exempt. Rashi says, Ulafi Dakin Lamadu, interesting Rashi, Kaloimar. Apropi Shali Omar Lanu Lashim Limud. Meaning, Rabbi Gamaliel did not turn to this game and say, you should know, the halacha is X. He didn't do that. What did he just say? Ah, oh, you see, Tavi Ma'evid, he's a Talmud Chacham, he knows that Avadim are exempt. That's all he said. So Rashi says, obviously, Amar lanu l'shem limud el l'sichas chulin ba'alma shohayim mishtaber ba'avdi libdichusa ba'alma. Nevertheless, lamadnu al pi derech b'dichusay. As we know, the pasuk says in Tehillim, va'aleu lo yibol afilu sichas chulin shol tamid chachamim tzricha talmud. One needs to learn even from the sichas chulin of the tamid chachamim. And he said this with shame and sichas chulin. Nevertheless, we learn shayosh nachzamita lo yotza yidei chivasi. Tesis points out over here in the second Tesis, risim tavi avdi shehu tamad chacham. So Tesis was evid kosher haya. Kedis the beberek sheni the brachas. We had that Rabbi Gamliel was mekabel tanchumim when his evid died, and he said, even though I taught you the Ein Mekabalim Tanchumim Al Avodim Kenanim, nevertheless, he is an Eved Kasher. He's an Eved Kasher. Ochlaner points out over here and says, Masha Hutzrichu Leima Kain. Why do Tezos need to say this? Yesh Lafarish. The Beksubus Taf Chavches, I mean, an Osir La'odim Shialamed as Avdi Torah. One is not allowed to be Malamed in Eved Kenani Torah. The concern is that maybe if you see an individual learning Torah and you're teaching him Torah, one will say he must be Yisrael Gomor. And they will come to mistakenly think that he's a full-fledged Yisrael, and therefore you're not supposed to teach him Torah, and it's Gepaskin in Shulchan Aruch. It says if you see someone teaching an Eved Kenani Torah, one must assume that the Odin was Meshachar him. You have to assume that he freed him. So that is the Psak Halacha. I'm sorry? Which you're not allowed to do. So says the Aruch HaNer, Mashut Chulim Rekein, Yeush Lafarish. The Beksubas, I mean, also Adam Lashir Lamed is Avdi Tera. Vachil Paskin, the Eich Hispire, I mean, Leo Ba'avde, Shir Talmud Chacham. How did he become a Talmud Chacham? Al Zekos, Evid Kasha Haya, Volomad Miatzmai, Belishin Higur, I mean, Leo Lakach. So, not that Rabbi Gamliel necessarily taught him. He learned these things himself, and that's what he did. He did what he did. The Tzinnis and Tzitzis goes on to say, that he also used to wear tefillin, and they didn't make a macha. Over here, they did make a macha. Tzitzis goes on to say that the reason, like we mentioned, the reason why he specifically did not sit in the sukkah, shahaya oisakin shalei litchik esachachamim shayu shein in the sukkah, he did it in order to make space and for the Talmid Chachamim to sit in the sukkah. Fine.
What was the point? He wasn't Yosef, so what was the point of being in the sukkah b'chal?
What was the point of
being in the sukkah b'chal? He's under a bed. Then we'll go back into his hafer, wherever he's sitting.
Well, I mean, you know, he was still Meshamish Rabbi Gamliel. You know, he was still waiting and serving on his master Rabbi Gamliel. So,
in the sukkah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess similar to all the women folk who sometimes sit in the apostle part of the sukkah, and we don't tell them to, you know. Yeah? Okay. Frank Bikimakasha, you're telling me, Ayosh and Tachas Amitav Sukkah, Layot Yedei Chayvasay, for Halakha Sarah. But where is the 10 Tfachim over here, which would create an oil, which would make it, that the oil is mafsik, which would make it that you're not considered to be in the sukkah? There's no 10 Tfachim. Targum Shmuel, the Mita Asara. And Echanami will say that the mattress of the Mita is at least 10 tvachim high, somewhere between 80 centimeters to 1 meter. And therefore it is mafsik. There's an interesting machleg zushen, if you look at the top tesvus, as in the first tesvus on the parak, ayosh and achsamit besukha. Lo yazdech avasav gemar mukhi la shmuel begvoya asara. The pachas mikan lechashiv oil lahafsik. Says Tosfos, and other Rishonim disagree with this, and they're mechalik. But Tosfos says, "Umatzinu lemeimar, the Shmuel l'tamei, the machshir beperek kama, tachteina kishein be'alyena asara." And remember, we said over there, if you have a sukkah tachas sukkah, you have a sukkah tachas sukkah, it's no good, right? The Mishnah said. And we had several shittas. What is considered? What is the difference between them? Kama yehebe in sukkah l'sukkah v'tei tachtein p'sula. Rav Huna said a tefach, and then we had Rav Chizda and Rabba Bar Rav Huna who said four tefachim, and Shmuel Amar asara. My time in the Shmuel kechshir kach p'sula. So Zok Tezvus, we can say that it's Shmuel atamei. The machshavah kama tachtenek is she'ein mil yena asara. Avol einach amaroi the pasim shemal yena chashiv elav avi she'ena gvoy yud. The idea in the chashiv oila hafsik. I mean, it's just like we would say that we connect the two from a smaller distance. So too we would say legavi oil. It's the same thing. Other rishonim say no. Maybe that din is a special din of connecting the schach. Here, when it comes to tumas oil, maybe when it comes to oil, maybe everyone would agree that it is 10 tefachim. Achabonim, we're saying, what's the case of a yashm tachsamid v'sukkah v'yasvi chavansi, if it is 10 tefachim high? Fine. Now we're going to get into a discussion of oil. Tanos, we learned in the Mishnah in Meseches Always. Tanos, echad chor shecharu mayim, ishrotzim, ishachlasi, malachas, v'chimid v'chavanim, So, however you have an oil, whether or not the water washed away the stone and it created now an oil, a place which is mahal on something, or the shrotzim ate away at it, or the salt ate away at it, or you've got stones lined up and arranged in a way that you have one stone or one section which is mahal. And the point is, even though the oil was not nasis bidei adam, with intent and with kavana to create an oil, it's all done through natural causes or through shrotzim and so on, without human intervention. Nevertheless, that is considered to be an oil, mahil al hatuma. All these things are mahil al hatuma. If we look at the second to last line of Rashi, in the social kuris, afim kuris haruchis, Al gabi karkazu, al gabzu. Ma'undis labinyin, v'yeshim harbin, akovim, v'neim. There's plenty of holes between them. V'yesh ben oyal, kol elu im kizayis meis. V'seich ha oyal, v'reishi echot. So if there's a kizayis meis on one side, v'kelem v'reishi sheni, and there's kelem on the other side, nitzmu ba'oyal ha-meis. Even though it was not done with intent, with kavana, nitzmu ba'oyal ha-meis. Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Kol oil she'ene osu bidei adam ene oil. It's got to be done bidei adam. Not only bidei adam, Rashi is meisif miskavin la'seis the oil. Fellow takes a bunch of stones and throws them, and happens to be they thrown away in a way that an oil has been created. That's also no good. It's got to be done with intent, with kavana. Otherwise, it's not an oil and it will not be maybe tuma. Says the Gemara, my time is Rebuta, meaning vice to Rebuta is the Chiddush. Meaning, why don't we just say an oil is, if you've got an area which is mahil, over 10 tefachim, then that is maybe a satuma. Where do you see any requirement that it's got to be done with intent? So my time is Rebuta, yalef oil, oil mi mishkan. He learns exertion from mishkan. Ksivacha in Pashas Chukas Zeis, Chukas Atera, Adam ki yamuz ba'oil. Says that the oil, the covering, was spread over the krashi hamishkan. So mala halon bidei adam, and there it was done with intent. Afkan bidei adam. So over here, it was done bidei Adam. And there's a discussion in the Rishonim, to the extent that we're learning out from Mishkan, why don't we learn out other things from Mishkan? Why don't we say it's only limited to Pishton, or you know, other things which were said over there? That is a further discussion that we share. I'll go upon him. We don't see it in the first pasuk. On the contrary, we only see it from the second pasuk. That's exactly what we're learning. We're saying just like in the second pasuk, when it says "Vayifrasis the oil," it was done with intent. So it must be even that the pasuk in Parshas Chukas, which is the source of Tumas Oil, must be referring to with intent. What are the Rabban? And the Rabban who say that no intent is required for Tumas Oil. All you need is the Mitzias of a Kizayis of Mace inside a covered area. So what do the Rabban do? Rabbanan oil, oil, riba. The Rabbanan say that being that it says the word oil several times in a Parshas Para, it comes to be marbe, even if it's not done bidei Adam with intent. The Gemara doesn't tell us over here, if so, what's the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda? You know, why does Rabbi Yehuda not say shapir kam Rabbanan, that oil is coming to be marbe? Al kapanin frag the Gemara v'sav Rabbi Yehuda kol oil she'ena asa bidei Adam ena oil. You're telling me, Rabbi Yehuda, that it must be done by the Adam with intent. Verminu, we have a Mishnah in Para. What does it say? Hatziris hayu benuyas biyushlam al gabi hasela. And here the Mishnah is discussing in Maseches Para that in order to ensure that the whole Seder of the Sreifas HaPara and the whole Esek of the Para was done betachlis haTahara, they needed to ensure that the individuals were 100% tahar. What is the concern? That maybe they were tamei tumas meis, maybe they were mahil over something. We know, we've seen already a few times, there's a concept known as tumah ritzutza, that if you don't have an oyel tefach, at least between the meis and the covering, so then the tumah is the tumah ritzutza, it's boikas v'oyla, it just bursts forth. So you need to make sure that there is a halal tefach, and then the tumah is contained. So we also know from Maseches Yuma that there were various kulas, or one very strong kula, which was done when it came to Sreifas HaPara, and that they specifically used the kohen who was tameh by bayayim and went to the mikveh as a tful yayim lahaitzi miliban shal tzeikim shay oimrim. And that you needed to be Moravi Shemesh, you needed to use someone post Arif Shemesh. So in order to be Meitzi Miliban, they would daft use a Tful Yom. But in order that people shouldn't be Mizalzel and say, oh, you already can be Mako when it comes to Inyone Paraduma, so then they were Machmer elsewhere, like we saw in Yuma Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So here we say in the Mishnah Para that Chatzeirus Hebunias Bishlam Al Gabi Asela. Said they would have chatzeiros, they would have courtyards, they would have places where women would go and give birth to children, and the children were raised betachlis tahara. So number one, it was on a stony cliff, it was on a stony area, an area which does not lend itself to any type of kvura, to kvarim being in this area because it's filled with stone. So number one, chatzeiros ibnis vishlam al gabi asela. But as a further safety, what did they do with tachteim halal? They ensured that there was at least a halal in order to prevent any potential kever tohoim situation where you're lacking this shear of a halal tefach, and therefore maybe the tumor would be bekas va'ola. So v'tachteim halal tefach b'mnei kever tohoim. There was this concern of potential kever tahoim. What do they do? Mivian and Nashim Ubaris. Pregnant women would go to this area, which was an area of Tahara, the Yolde Sham, and they would give birth there. Umegad lays b'neim Sham, Labara. And they would raise their children there, Labara. So these kids definitely did not come into any Tumas Mace whatsoever. Now, I'm sorry, this is Labara Duma. Whenever they needed to do it, yeah. I mean, they would have to go in and get mayim, as we're going to see in a minute. They would have to go and get mayim and mix it. The Afra Parah, they didn't have to necessarily burn so often. That lasted a long time. But it could be that the mayim was perhaps more necessary to do.
Were they choking kohen, or were they...
Yeah. Yeah, these were Kahanim, correct? Vayoldu Sham, Umagalas B'neim Sham Leparo, Umivin Shvarim, and they would bring oxen. And Rashi says, towards the middle of the page, Umivin Shvarim Kishahayu Reitzim Lelech, Ulamalis Mayim Chayim Min HaShiloyach, they needed to go and get Mayim Chayim from the Shiloyach. So what do? Umivin Shvarim V'algabim D'lasais, they would bring big wide doors, and they would place it on the back of these shvarim. V'tineko is yoshvin algabein, and the children would sit on top of these doors. And again, the reason why they did this is to ensure that there's always going to be at least a halal tefach, so that even though if they're walking next to some type of kever tahoim, if the tumah hits, it'll hit the door, and it will not go on to the children. What happened? The koisi shall even bideyem, and they would have cups of stone, and like we saw from in the Sechas Yuma that Beis Man Aleph, they would specifically use stone, kli avonim, kli glalim, and so on, things which are not mekabel tuma. They did this; that wouldn't be mekabel tuma. Higil l'shiloyach. Now here we get to a little bit of a dangerous matziv. So they've reached the shiloyach. Now the children need to go and they need to fill up the cup. You know, so what do? It could be when they get off the backs, when they get off the tables, which is on top of the back of the oxen, maybe then they'll become tamei. So higil l'shiloyach yardu l'teich ha-mayim. They would actually descend into the mayim. Rashi says, k'savra haitana, milui ba'inin v'loi shishal shal b'chevel. You're stuck. Here, there's nothing else you can do. You must descend, and you must, with your hand, stick your hand into the water, and therefore they're going to have to get off. There's a extremely remote possibility that mamish in the place that you are, but there's no prayer. You have to do that. Whereas Rabbi Yasi, they didn't need to descend. They would just lower their cups. Rabbi Yossi says it was unnecessary to actually get off the table, and all they would do is they would lower their kais into the water, and the reason why is because of the concern of kevratayim. So that is the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. Now, Vitanya, and we learned Rabbi Yehuda Imer Loi Hayimevian Dlases Elishvarim. Rabbi Yehuda says they didn't need to bring tables. They didn't need to bring these doors and put the doors on the back of the oxen. They would just get a great big ox with a great big stomach, which was wide enough so that the child would sit, you know, on top of the ox, and it was totally unnecessary to bring anything else, and this way everything is okay. What's the kasha? Finally, we get to the kasha. But obviously, an ox, the stomach of an ox, is not nasib bidei adam. And nevertheless, what does Rebbe Yehuda say? That this serves as an oil to be mafsik. So, how can you see before that Rebbe Yehuda says, kol oil shein asib bidei adam eina oil? Rabbi Yehuda says it was unnecessary to put doors on top of the backs of the ox, but rather they would just get a big ox, and the stomach of the ox would serve as an oil. Ketani Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Lo Yemevin Delasis El Shvarim. We'll just see the answer and we'll stop. Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Rav Elazar May Rabbi Yehuda Kimalei Agroi. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if it's much, much bigger, it's the size of a fist, and Rashi says it's a very large fist of Ben Avatiach, of a large person, that type of size is already substantial enough, big enough, that Rabbi Yehuda would say, even though it's lo nasis b'dei adam, it wasn't done with human intention, but may Rabbi Yehuda kamlei egreif, and therefore such an oil is considered to be an oil, even though it was lo nasis b'dei adam. Okay.